Welcome to Books on Air, the podcast you don't want to miss. You're about to get a sneak peek at what goes on behind the scenes with authors. We'll find out their secret recipe for creating a book. We'll tell you where they get their ideas, and you will get the inside scoop on their next project. Want to know more? Great. We'll tell you where to find them on social media. Are you ready? Okay, let's meet the author. Joining me today is David Mamina. He's here to talk about his fantasy fiction book, Angels of the Resistance, Book 1 of a 2-part series. David is a dark fantasy and science fiction author. His themes include redemption of fallen heroes, good versus evil, and the unity of those split by their differences in the face of supernatural adversity. His novels are set in post-apocalyptic or dystopian eras, as well as fantasy realms and the present day. Apart from writing page-turners, David is a real person. In the real world, he teaches history to middle school students with learning disabilities, and he has been awarded the prestigious Presidential Call to Service Award. Wow, David, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, please. I think the pleasure is mine. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I can't tell you. This is just so much fun to talk to you. I'm very curious. Tell me about receiving the Presidential Call to Service Award.
Oh, of course. You know, I didn't know what it was, where it came from, how I earned it. All it was is I was working in the church for many years since I was a kid. And in Long Island, the church is a place where the entire community meets. And I sort of volunteered often. I volunteered in the youth group for many years. I volunteered as a church usher. I volunteered as a sacristan. So all of a sudden, a group of parishioners came up to me and said, hey, we were thinking you're going to be awarded the Presidential Call to Service Award. And I said, wow, what is that? I had no idea what it was. But it just sounded really prestigious. And what it really is an award to celebrate people who are participating in the community in some meaningful way. And I was very honored to receive it, and I'm very proud, and I'm very thankful.
You're a pretty extraordinary person, though. You do work with children with disabilities. And the middle school, you and I talked about this earlier before we came on and started interviewing. Really, the difficulties that you run into with school systems now and with kids with disabilities, how do you do that? I mean, it seems like it would be difficult to teach. But I think your approach sounds unbelievably great.
I mean, yeah, the whole approach that I've discovered is you got to teach with your heart first, which means you got to put the teaching on the back burner, and you got to find this kid. Find out who this kid is. You want to build a rapport. You want to let them know. You know, I'm a guy, too. I'm just a regular human being as well. And I care about you, and I want to help you, and I want to inspire you. I don't want to tell you what to do, because there's enough people in your life that are trying to tell you what to do. I want to be someone who can inspire you to think for yourself, and more importantly, to find what you're good at, and what you could do, and how you can contribute to society and to yourself. And you know, once they realize there's no agenda here. You want to help them. You want to teach them stuff. And you're willing to talk to them about almost anything. That's it. I mean, being a middle school kid, it's one of the hardest things you could ever be. It's the most confusing time. So for someone to kind of ground you somewhere and to kind of just listen to you, that's like a gold mine right there. And then you can teach them anything you want.
See, I think that your attitude is just perfect for the job that you're doing. The other side of you is a writer. And I know that writer has to start and has to come from somewhere. And often there's either a person like you who encouraged that writer, or there's an event that happened in their lives that's cataclysmic and they feel like they have to get it out and they need to write about it. What caused you to decide to be the writer that you are, David?
That's a great question, and it's a very introspective question, because when I was young, 80s and 90s, I did with a lot of young boys my age did, and they played outside, and then they went inside, and they played video games, and they read a bunch of comic books. And while it was fun to play those video games, I saw a whole world in front of me. I was playing out someone's story, and I'm saying, man, this story is awesome. I mean, I'd love to make a story like this for people to kind of be a part of, to enter, to feel the character's struggles and to share in their triumphs. And I was a little guy when I had that feeling. And I would just write fun little stories that ended up God knows where. But when I was in high school, I came up with this idea. I had a dream. Almost any author can tell you what their inspiration is, and it's usually very strange. And I had a dream. It was a very scary, apocalyptic dream, and I said, geez, why did I get this? And it stayed in my head for a while, and I thought, you know what, let me just write something in this crazy world. And the more research you do on the apocalypse, the more shocking it really is. And it was far from what I was used to. And the more you write about it, the more exciting your characters can be. Because that's what writing is. A story isn't, just a story with things happening. It's people. It's people's story. It's character's story. And to answer your question, in high school, there was an English teacher, Mr. Sullivan, and he saw I was writing stuff, and he was interested. And this guy motivated me like no one else did. And he asked me for updates of what I was writing in class as kids were listening. That made me feel so good. And I said, you know what? Maybe there's something here. Maybe I should kind of pursue this. And he was the spark that got me into that belief that I don't just have to write things. I could actually share this with the world for sure. So yeah, definitely helps to have someone in your life to see something special. And then kind of put some heat under you to get you motivated to start doing it.
Does he know?
You know, I don't know. I worked as a custodian for many years, paid for college. And I saw him driving by once, and he remembered me, and we spoke a little bit. But no, I don't think he knows. He doesn't know that I was published and all that, so... If I could find them again, I'd definitely love to have a coffee with them or something. Just kind of thank him.
You know he would absolutely, I mean, that would make his year to know that he had that positive influence on you and that you have gone on. I mean, you're prolific. You've written more than 7 books. You're a prolific author. It all started with that encouragement of Mr. Sullivan. You need to see if you can find him and tell him. That would just, I mean, a former English teacher, I am. So,
That's right.
I have one student who is in the movie business. And he has kept in touch with me. And he has said things about me influencing him in a positive way. And David, I can't tell you how that makes me feel for Jason, after all these years, to still credit me with some of his success. I mean, it's just kind of amazing. Was there a Tolkien influence there at all?
You know what? It's funny you say that. When I was young and naive, well, I guess more naive than I am now, I should say, I didn't know much about Tolkien, believe it or not. I just didn't. I just knew his work. And when I say it that way, this is a guy that essentially created the fantasy genre as we sort of know it today. He combined all these different types of mythos from different cultures and kind of made it something mainstream that adults can read. And this is in everything you see. It's in movies, it's in comic books, it's in the video games that I played. So in a sense, I didn't read his work, I lived his work, I played his work. It's just a crazy thing to imagine that this writer became more than his craft. He had us all just live in his idea. So, yeah, I'd say that inspiration is there. I think any fantasy author has to attribute to him in some way.
I love what you just said. That's so insightful, and I really, really like the way you made that point. Let's talk about the book. Let's talk about Angels of the Resistance, Book 1. Tell me a little bit about it, and let's give an overview to the listeners.
Sure. Well, you know, I'm an all-around good guy, but I do write some dark fantasy. I write dark fantasy epics, and for me, you know, I always wanted to read a book that was extremely exciting, adventurous, had you on the edge of your seat. You were so tired of reading, and you just can't stop. And I've read books like that, and that's what I want to do for my readers. I want to write a book that makes them say, wow, I don't care what's going on anywhere else right now, but I want to keep reading this book. That's what I want to do. And this book, my first book, this is kind of my flesh and blood, in essence. It's my inorganic child, in a sense. It's a major world-ending event that changes what we know of this world to be. And the world does come back, whereas nature wins, as it always will win. But there's a feudal world now, where we're back to like knights in armor again, those who have survived. And we're separated by our races, separated by our cultures, by how we survived in all those hundreds of years. And it's like nothing has changed in a sense. So we have our prejudices, and, you know, we have our way of living and what we're doing. And everything is the status quo for that new age until the dark force rises out of nowhere and starts to spread darkness and torment everywhere. And the thing is, you know, in any book that you read or any fantasy movie, there's got to be a dark force. There has to be some evil thing attacking the human experience. But the reality is humans have their own demons. They have their own flaws. They have their own problems. And I wanted to create a story where there's an evil force that invades this world, but there's an answer. There's a reason they're there. There's an origin as to how they came to be. And it ties into the human experience. And these humans who are flawed have to find a way to work together to acknowledge that their survival rests on them banding together, coming up with essentially a war of wills and desperate strategy together to stop this evil. And that means learning its weaknesses, learning what it wants, what motivates it. And these champions essentially turn into heroes, because every one of these main characters that you read about have a life-changing experience, every one of them, because no one will ever be the same when you're fighting a demon plague, something so dark and terrible, but also no one's going to stay the same when you're working with your enemy, your rival, your opponent, people you don't trust. When you start to understand, I need this person. I'm putting my life in this person's hand. And that's what kind of develops as this book continues. They use their own skills and strengths, and they learn to not just depend on each other, but kind of protect each other. And it's an amazing story, and I love it very much.
Wow, you've intrigued me already, and I have read the excerpt, and I can just see this in my mind. It's just so interesting, because you're right about the Tolkien idea and the fantasy world, and we all begin to see that. I can just see what you were describing, because when I read the excerpt that's on Amazon, your prose is very visual. And so you really took me right there. What's your writing process like, David? Are you an outliner? I mean, I know that there are people who sit down and they really almost like tell the story in an outline, and then all they have to do is go back in almost and fill in the dialogue because they know exactly what's about to happen. And then there's the other style that's called the pantsers, who write it by the seat of their pants. They sit down either with a pad or at a computer. The movie starts in their head, and they start recording what they see. Are you an outliner or a pantser or a combination of the two?
The answer is yes. Anytime anyone asks, they're like, how do you do it? The outline, you just come up with it? And it's like, well, you got to do a little bit of both. If you're just outlining, you know, which is extremely important. Oh, man, I cannot stress enough. You have to outline. That doesn't mean you have to outline up to chapter this. And this is how many pages you have to have. I tell people, do not limit yourself. Don't do that. See where the characters take you. You know, see what happens. As you're writing, sometimes you have this, you had a great idea 5 days ago and you outlined it. And as you're writing, you're like, whoa, what if this happens instead? And all of a sudden, you're, like you said, you're on the seat of your pants. And you're like, oh, man, I'm in uncharted territory right now and I'm loving it. So writing is that kind of process where if you can kind of surprise yourself because the characters are sort of pulling you now, I think you're in the right, you're definitely writing the right story. That's what I'm trying to get at. So it's a little bit of the two.
And it's almost magical. I mean, it's, to me, I've written a little bit of fiction, nothing like yours, but I've written a little bit of fiction, and it's just, it's almost like the characters sort of take over your brain, and you may think you want them to do X, but the character says, you know what, I wouldn't do that. I would do Y. And you go, oh, okay. And so you change however the action's supposed to go. The process of writing is so interesting because it's so creative, and I know that there are people who are listening to us are going, oh, these two people are nuts, because it does sound a little bit crazy to talk about it like this, but the creative process just works that way, and it's just got a magical quality about it. Would you agree?
Oh, you're so right. Yeah, absolutely. I know I've spoken to a lot of up-and-coming authors like myself, really, and you know, many of them have that same question, like, how am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to have the ending, you know, in the books? Am I supposed to know where this goes? And you sort of do, because that's where the message is. That's where you're going to have that impact. The ending is everything, but the journey should be what the people remember most. Like, the ending has to be big, you know, it's going to be like, wow, there's the ending. But you want your reader to say, oh, man, you know, that chapter 6 was crazy when this, you know, there's many times where you read a book and you watch a movie and it's like, yeah, the ending was something. And then you have to kind of like have a conversation with someone to even remember what happened at a certain spot because you just forgot it, you know. So in many cases, you don't want to limit yourself. You want to keep the theme as strongly as you can. But what happens in between, it's up to you and sort of what we were talking about earlier, up to you and what happens at 3 a.m. when you wake up and you're like, oh, man, that's it. You know, it's like, how did it happen to me? I was sleeping. I was in limbo of nothingness. And then what? You know, it's amazing how these things just happen. So, like I said, please just do not limit yourself. Don't think there's a stone path you have to walk. I mean, you can walk the path, and don't be afraid to take a little detour, made on your own terms.
Great advice, and I hope that any would-be author out there who thinks they have that book in their head, but they've never put pen to paper, as it were, will take that advice and will put that pen to paper and see where it takes them. I know that we have tickled the interest of our listeners, and so I'm sure they're saying to themselves, where can we find this book? Amazon is the apex book person, book place right now. So you are on Amazon. The book is on Amazon, as are the rest of your books. And what I want to do is give the name of the book and then spell your name so that they'll be able to put that in that search feature at the very front of the page. The name of the book is Angels of the Resistance. By
actually, it's, believe it or not, it's Angels of Resistance.
No, the?
The. Yeah.
All right.
But it works the same for me.
Angels, Angels of Resistance by David, D-A-V-I-D, Mamina, M-A-M-M-I-N-A. You could almost just put David's name in the search feature and click on it, and his books will come up. But Angels of Resistance is the one that we've talked about today. Now, you also, I know, have a website. You have a lot of presence on social media. Let's give the listeners the website and then tell them what they can find there, David.
Oh, sure. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. So the website is maminabooks.com. So it's basically my crazy last name and books. So maminabooks.com. And what you'll find there is basically, first page, you'll see my books in print. You'll see a couple of cool pictures of some of my characters that have been drawn by some artists. You'll get a taste of basically what I'm about and why I write. And you'll see my social media presence. I love to connect with just about anybody, readers, authors, you know, anyone. I just love to have that kind of conversation. But you'll be able to find my books there. There's a page that has each book. It has the ebook link, the hardcover, paperback. Two of my books are also audiobooks. This book in particular is an audiobook as well, narrated by this awesome guy with this great timbre. I mean, it's amazing. And it's a pretty big book. I mean, it's certainly an epic read, and he did such a bang-up job. So really cool audiobook, too. And you'll see on there as well, I'm creating a card game inspired by my books. And it's in the works. So if you see a sign that says under construction, well, me too. I'm always under construction. But the card game is under construction, too. So something to look out for.
I think that's so wonderful that you're doing that, because to me it makes the book come alive and gives it that kind of gamer feeling that I think is really fun to have in those kinds of fantasy books. And there's also a really nice excerpt on Amazon. When they go to the page that where the book is, of course, in that upper right-hand corner, there's a little cue that says, look here. And if they'll click on that, then they get to read a little bit about the book, and there's an introduction to who the characters are, and you get a feel for the action right away, because you really do pull us into the action, and you really start with action almost right away. Where else can they find you? You're on Facebook. How could they find you on Facebook?
You can just go to right to my website, actually. I have a contact tab, and on that contact tab, I mean, I got everything. It's like walking into Times Square. It's all these lights and things thrown at your face.
Perfect.
It's got Facebook, Instagram, Goodreads, the whole shebang. I have some YouTube videos in there. You can glorify yourself in the social media world we're living in now in this tab.
You're doing it all. I love it. And once they find the website, the website's the treasure trove and the key, right?
That treasure trove and the key is yours. Once you get to that website, it just makes it so much easier instead of searching for this elusive young man everywhere.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Now, I always like the author to sort of have the very last word. So I have a question that is sort of a standard question for me, because I'm curious about what an author wants to leave their reader with. When the person who has bought your book, either electronically or physically, closes metaphorically or literally that back cover for the last time, and they leave this fictional world, the books are not only entertaining, but they're full of action, and it's heroes and villains and all of the wonderful stuff that's created around fantasy. Do you want me as a reader to leave with the idea that, wow, what a great, entertaining book I just finished. Is there a deeper message that you would like to leave the reader with? Tell me.
I think when the reader closes the book, I want them to lean back and say, I just lived that life. I just lived that story. Wow. Like, I'm back to this world, but now I live that world, and I can take that with me anywhere I go. You know, I lived these characters' triumphs and their pain, and I saw them change, and I saw their heart, and I saw myself in these cases. I mean, I write my characters and the story itself to be as realistic as possible in this fantasy world, as a way to not just make it feel real, but I want them to feel like they were in it. They had a part to play. I wrote it, but they lived it, you know, and I want them to just have that impact to say, man, like, you know, I wonder if I want to live that again later. Like, I'll put it on the shelf and I'll live that again some other time when I'm feeling glum, or if I want to feel a certain way, I want to revisit that world again. So whether it's, you know, your character had the ending you expected or didn't, you know, I never want to leave my readers thinking, well, yeah, but what about this? Yeah, but what about that? I hate that. You know, in some cases it works to have it sort of open-ended. But I really, you know, these readers purchase this book to feel something, to have something, and I want to leave them with that, saying, man, that was an ending. Like, I feel that as I close the book, I have closure in that, too. That's kind of what I want the ending to be like.
Wow. You know, I suspect that your readers feel exactly that way, because that's how you write. It has been such a pleasure, David, to talk with you. I would love to talk with you about any of your other books. You are interesting, and I love your insight into how writing should work. It was just a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on Books on Air.
Thank you so much for having me. This was just a great time all around.
Remember, you can find David Mamina's book, Angels of Resistance, on Amazon. You've been listening to the Books on Air podcast, brought to you on webtalkradio.net. You can also hear this podcast on iTunes and iHeartRadio. I'm Suzanne Harris, and I hope that you'll join me on our next Books on Air podcast. Remember, you never know who's going to be here. Thanks so much for listening.